I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Thursday, and I'm here with Sarah Haynes. This is Behind the Table. All right, we are back, and Sarah Haynes is back. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
We're going to start with some fun stuff before we get into what you were doing the last couple of days. So let's start with the good part here. Last weekend, you went to Don Lemon's wedding.
Yes.
With your husband, Max, and a few of the other co-hosts.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like you had a good time by the blurry photos I saw, but tell us how it was.
It was amazing. First and foremost, I've known Tim since he was a page at NBC. He worked, I would say, not really for me, but worked with me. So it was his first job. I've known him for, I guess it'd be like 20 years now. And I've gotten to know Don. It's what Tim's always wanted. He always wanted he comes from a really big family, four mm-hmm. kids just like us. And we always related over how close each of our families were. So to witness this moment for him. But then once the beauty and the hugs and the kisses stopped, the dancing began. We shut that place down. And I couldn't get out, by the way, because I went to see Joy and Sonny. I saw Manny and Steve, and then they said they're around the corner. It was so crowded and hard to move. So I cut around the other way. I found Anna, though, and Al had left, and Anna tried to leave, I think, two more times. And I go, oh, no, sweetie, you're not old enough to call out yet. And I kept blocking her. But we then shut down the after party. I said goodnight to Tim and Don, waved them off.
Mm-hmm.
And Max was like, don't you think we should go? I was like, let me just finish this drink and we'll go.
Yeah, I think just you're excited to be let loose on the city and have no children.
We got a hotel room and we were able to stay out late and sleep in if we needed to.
All right. It's a family podcast. Let's keep it at that.
Sleep in.
Yes. All right. Well, speaking of family, your son Alec was here last week in the office with you, which always has the staff smiling behind the scenes. It puts joy in a good mood always. Does it make you more stressed when your kids are here or just excited or is that fun?
Well, it's exciting. It's exhausting. And I think anyone can relate to this because everything you show your kids, it's a teaching experience. And for me, it's people are going to love you here because they've known you since you were born. And mm-hmm. I work with awesome people. But it's a business and we're going to handle ourselves like we're at a business. So and people are working and they all have jobs. And so teaching them that walking that line of enjoying and appreciating, but knowing that not everyone's, you know, it's not take your parent or kid to
work day,
right. Thank you for everyone here. So you need to relax. So I think he did okay, but he loved exploring. So what's an old building to us, to a kid, is like a treasure hunt.
Right.
So he kept trying to cut down the stairwells. And I was like, no. You can walk between my dressing room and the main office, nowhere else.
He attacked me with a few balloons. I didn't mind.
Oh, yeah. He opened that Steve Martin box and he had balloons. He had an arrow through his head. Like the little fake headband and all this
iconic
stuff.
Steve Martin comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Sandra was here a few weeks ago, too.
Yes.
And she loved all the girls in the office.
Oh, well, they braided her hair.
Mm-hmm.
There's something so nurturing about, not that men can't be, but about your girlfriends and women, because they love so big, especially when it's your child. She was enveloped like she was in heaven. She always wants girl energy and she doesn't get it at home. To have
she
all
come
these
to my house.
I know. I was going to say she could. We could swap out. She loved all these girls doting on her. So she was like ear to ear smiling.
My 12-year-old came in a couple weeks ago and it was the first time since before the pandemic she had been to work with me. And she's now like, you know, a young lady. It's different than when she was a kid. But my favorite thing to see was her like trying to be cool for the 20-something-year-old girls here and the production assistants and the associate producers and just kind of like, you know, talking about skincare with them and things like that. It was very cute.
You know what's funny though, Brian? We talked about this once, how we always think we're younger. So we aspire to those same group and then our kids are looking up aspiring. So that is like the creme de la cool.
Yeah. No, no one wants to hang out with you and me. They want to hang out with the 25-year-olds.
But neither do we. We want to just go with the 25-year-olds.
Yeah.
And then the little ones are looking up too. So it's a good time in life. I hope they take note of that.
Yeah. And again, it's a reminder for me that they're closer to my daughter's age than my age because I'm old.
Yeah, when they link Drunk Elephant and talk about what their concerts they're going to, it's not going to be what we're thinking.
No, although I went to Olivia Rodrigo the other
day. How was it?
It was so much fun.
Did you
go
with both girls?
I went with both girls, and we had such a good time. It was really, really,
awesome.
Yeah. No, it was very, very cool. There's an embarrassing video of me like singing along with my daughters that I wish was not
taken. That's called blackmail, and we need that.
It's ridiculous.
Who has it? Heather?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I'll text her.
And no, but it was definitely one of those like core memory nights. It was
that's
just like,
awesome.
Oh, this is great. And there's only so many more times where they're going to want to go to a concert with me.
I think that's I disagree. I think they will for there might be a minute, but it'll come back.
Maybe it'll like dad rock, but I think like, you know, the teen pop stars moment is closing. But it was fun.
Well, when you're as excited as they are to watch Olivia Rodrigo.
Well, she has
those
a lot
days,
of really great songs,
she
Sarah.
Does. No, like, I love her music. But I can't listen with my kids because there is some.
There was a lot.
A lot
and
of
I knew
language.
That. And my daughters were smart enough to like go to the radio edit when they were singing along. But yeah, there's a lot.
And at their ages, you can say a little more like. Now when my kids hear it, it's still something that they don't quite understand the difference and when you should and when you can and all the things. So it's a little early for me.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I stick to Taylor Swift. She's got clean lyrics.
Well, not entirely, but yeah. I hear
most of them.
Yeah.
Pink is not. Can't put on Pink.
No.
Just so you know.
No. I've taken them to a Pink concert too.
But I love Pink.
I know. All right. So hot topics. We were going to do this topic today about houses before spouses, where some real estate agents are suggesting that you buy a home with friends when you're younger so you can start owning property early.
Yeah.
Would you have ever considered buying a house with friends?
Well, if all the legal precautions are taken, it is a great way to invest money if you have it. Because down payments, I didn't have my first house until after 40. And I think trying to do it on your own or with a partner or waiting till you all have it, why not take a small bite out of the property and own it, invest it, flip it over. I mean, it is a great investment. It puts you in the market way before you're probably going to be able to afford your own place. So the way I read it originally, I was like, oh, not a good idea. Like I thought moving in and buying houses with friends, I thought that's an inevitable breakup. But if you're doing it as an investment property, I'm all for it.
You were locked into apartment living for a long time. It was a big deal for you to get a house. Did
absolutely.
You miss it ever?
I did miss it. I do at times because small spaces, I think, arguably are better for small kids, meaning it is easier to do everything I needed to do from laundry to cooking, which I had to prepare, do this, leave rooms without kids going up and down stairs. You know, houses have more space. An apartment, when it's all on one floor, you could put up a baby wall if you needed to go do something, and my kids couldn't get in trouble in that small space. Once I moved to a house, and Caleb wasn't even one, I had to watch every staircase. I couldn't responsibly leave a room and switch a load of laundry because they were downstairs, you know, so it was a lot harder.
When I first had kids, we redid our basement because our house was just not very kid-friendly.
Yep.
And our basement became the only place we were ever.
Yep.
Like that was the headquarters. We lived down there. And until we were confident they weren't going to fall downstairs or hit their heads on a coffee table, I might as well have been in a one-bedroom apartment at that point. But yeah, so Alyssa's moving to a house, so she's going to have that change of going from city living to suburban living. In the end, it's a trade-off for
the
sure.
The pace of life for me is better.
Yeah.
It's more natural.
I think so, too. I think so, too. But I do miss it sometimes, especially when you have a late night in the city.
Yeah, but I prefer a hotel because you can just leave it and not take care of it. You know, it's not like we're trashing or raging, but I don't want to have to make the bed. I don't want to have to do anything. I just want to go flop down and then leave.
All right. We also talked today about the trad wife, not the triad wife, as Whoopi said at the beginning. This trend with the Gen Z generation where some women are going back to doing traditional roles in the home.
Yeah.
Do you and Max have traditional roles?
We don't really.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no way to pull it off. There are times, though, where when I hear about not trad wives, because trad wives, I don't know if it's always calculating for kids. That is a lot when you add kids to that.
Yeah.
So, but I often envy the people that have chose a different lifestyle lane because they get to be the ones that are the mystery reader and volunteer. And there's so much guilt in not being able to do some of the things that I take such pleasure in. The principal of the elementary school once said, when I get to do pickup, she goes, I've never seen someone more enthusiastic at pickup line because I like am like, mama's here. Like, I can't wait to come do pickup and hear about school. And so, you know, to be able to do the morning things, all the concerts are in the morning. I miss so much that there are times I kind of wish I had that, although I know it's not the best lane for me. But
what about other stuff? Like, who does the laundry?
I do laundry.
Who does the cooking?
That's a split because I don't cook a lot, but I feel like all the breakfast I'm often doing, but Max does the eggs. I don't know, like it's hit and miss. It's who's there. Like we often do leftovers or we'll, Max is, I'm going to give Max this because I do very basic things. He definitely does more.
Who cleans?
Me.
Who takes out the trash?
Me. He can, but I have to gently ask him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll be overflowing and I'm kind of like, I can't even shut the drawer. And I'm like, Max, would you mind taking the trash? He doesn't typically spearhead it on his own.
Who puts the kids to bed?
Both of us.
Okay.
So but I do baths.
Yeah. You do baths. All
yeah. Right. Max handles a lot when it comes to, like, for example, the house. Like, you know, if we need to get something fit, he'll navigate the people coming to the house, mm-hmm. you know, and things like that.
Is he handy?
No.
No.
Like, literally, one day the kids asked me, because I was running to Home Depot and I needed to get a light bulb because these one lights under our counter were driving me crazy. And all three kids are with me because I love running errands with them, because it's times where that's when I feel like my mom, who was at home at times for our childhood. And one of the kids is like, Mama, you're the oldest in our family, right? Yes. Is that why you take care of all of us, including Papa?
That's sweet.
I was like, yeah, that's why I hang the photos and get the light bulbs. Not because I'm a Daniel Tiger mom who's a carpenter, but
you don't have to tell me.
I know you've lived that.
Yes.
But so Matt, the good part is, so there's a part of my father's generation that my dad was a fix it. If we didn't have it, he'd build it.
Right.
Even though he was a businessman by day, he was a tradesman. He built our beds, the table we used to eat at. He made our playhouse that was in the back of our yard. He was handy. Something went wrong. He had a note. He was fixing it. But I don't know if that man could have been the same father as I got with Max. Mm-hmm. Like, Max is much more non-traditional, but invested, like, in a way my dad wasn't.
All right. Well, so it's a give and take for sure.
It is.
Sure. I'm not particularly handy. I'm good with electronics.
No, but you take boxes out like a beast.
I do, yes.
I've heard about that.
Yes. I come downstairs in the morning to a load of boxes and trash.
You usually take
out.
Time to take a picture.
And send it to you.
To sulk about your boxes.
Well,
and
it's
then
just ridiculous. If you can put the boxes in front of the door, you could take it out to the curb.
But you know what? For people that carry a lot of emotional load in the household, I see you, Heather Tedda.
I'm on
sometimes
my way
giving
to work
people
in the morning.
Right. And so take those boxes.
I'm rushing to catch a train.
How grateful are you for your family?
I am
They're
very
so
grateful
beautiful.
For my family. They're all wonderful.
They are wonderful.
I'm very lucky to have them.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back after this.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' group text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' group text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit. Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, moving on. We had another topic on the show. This one we did yesterday. You weren't here for it. It was about a study that says it could be helpful to write angry letters and then shred them.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? You like to write for purpose. I feel like you write to focus.
I once had a couples therapist. It's my therapist, but we've done couples therapy mm-hmm. with her. She once said, when you guys are frustrated, because both of us, mainly me, has a problem pausing. She said, why don't you text your frustrations? Mm-hmm. Because there's more mindfulness in writing it down. Mm-hmm. And you're often clearer in what you're trying to say.
Right.
And so I tend to think, even though that's a different issue, it's similar. If you want to get your thoughts out and shred them, you can say all the ugly things, you know. But even as a couple, sometimes writing it down, going into different rooms or sitting there, it is actually productive.
Mm-hmm.
Because the things that will come out of my mouth when I'm reactive and in the moment are not the same things I'd be proud of writing.
Right. No, I get that. I mean, the idea, I think, is to shred it so you don't, like, that's your outlet.
And yeah, you're done.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I don't know if that'd be particularly fulfilling.
I think journaling, though, like, you can vent and get it all out.
Do you do that? Do you keep a journal? Do you keep
it a diary? I actually have started to, not an ongoing one, but I journal this little kid note where I reminisce about all funny moments with my children.
That's nice.
Well, wait, Brian, this is one of the most recent entries. Sandra's sitting in the car and she starts to talk about the leaders, who are the leaders of this country and the laws and how bad they were when Dr. King was around because mm-hmm. they made bad laws.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, baby, they did. They made such bad laws. She goes, and you know what another one is? Did you know we can't marry our siblings? And I was like, oh, sweetie, like maybe we won't tell that part when we repeat our proud moment.
Aww.
She's like, why can't we? We love each other. I thought, oh, honey, you came in so strong with the Dr.
Yeah.
King example. And then we went there.
No, Dr. King's dream does not include.
The injustice just didn't feel the same with each.
Yeah.
So
Oh, all right. Well, it's a nice idea.
But I did write it in the baby notes, so we never forget that one.
No, yesterday, my soon-to-be 10-year-old, this one hurt, asked me if I was older than Joy Behar, which that was rough. That was rough. And I said, no, honey, Joy's considerably older. She looks great, and I understand why there's...
You know what it was? It's probably the boss. Like
that's what she said.
You're in charge. You're the boss because it's the
way... I mean,
she's
in fourth grade. This isn't like a toddler anymore.
Yeah, but the
anymore.
Other day I was telling my friends in Newton how the pastor at the church is about our age now. And she goes, yeah, we're that old that the pastors, the policemen, everyone... Because remember the first time you looked... And it had to have happened a while ago. Mm-hmm. When you look at athletes that you've always admired and think, these college players look like babies to me now. Like,
right. No, when Derek Jeter retired, it was a very hard day for me.
It's happening.
Thing.
So that's what your daughter's wrestling with is you're in charge. How are you younger but in charge?
She's like, I just thought you were a couple years older. I'm like, oh, my God. Anyway, it's a credit. It's more of a credit to how great Joy looks than the idea that I look like I'm in my 80s.
Or a child reconciling, like, power structures and...
I guess. I don't know. I'm having trouble with it. I did not write that down. I'm hoping to forget it soon.
I'll put it in my baby notes so we don't forget.
Oh, great. All right. Before we go, so I've referenced the fact you weren't here for a couple
yes.
of days, and we talked about it on the show. You were at a funeral back in Iowa the last 2 days, and you actually gave the eulogy, which is such an honor and such a challenging thing.
Yeah.
For a close family friend of yours. Tell me about it.
So these are my oldest friends, Megan and Molly. Everyone that knows me feels like they know Megan and Molly because I talk about them all the time and have since birth. But it was their mom, Janie, who was an amazing woman, and I was honored. I had followed – one of the benefits of someone going through hospice care is you have a long runway of time to have all your feelings and have all the conversations. And so as soon as Janie went to the hospital, I've been in touch like more than I'm talking to my own mom. Like 4 and 5 times a day we're talking, and then she passed. And – in that day, I was here at work. It was right before the show. And that day they asked me so formally, like we're old friends. And they're like, I wanted to ask you a question. I thought, what is it? Like, and they were calling my phone and they asked me to do the eulogy. And it was one of the greatest honors of my life so far. Like it ranks right up there when my best friend Aaron asked me to be a godmother. Like instantly I felt this enormous, awesome responsibility and profound privilege to do a speech on a life that, and I laugh because it was probably longer than it needed to be. I saw online, they're like, try to keep it 3 to 7 minutes. And I was like, I barely introduced myself in 3 minutes. Like, where does Janie come in?
Yeah,
but
time clock management, not great for any of you
view
hosts.
No. So I warned them in advance, but I also said, you know, she was such a beautiful woman and mother, and how do you capture a life and a legacy in even 15 minutes? But it went beautifully. I was able to not – I needed to hold myself together because it wasn't about me. It was about Janie, and it was about Gary, Megan, Molly, and Rob, her husband and the kids. But to look at these people I've known, you know, for so long and know we're at that point in our lives was hard. It was an honor and beautiful, but it shows you how bittersweet life is, because in addition to the crying and the feelings and the finality of it all, there was this beauty in holding each other tighter and knowing now our friendship is solidified one layer closer, because we'll all say goodbye to our parents and hopefully they're holding me up when it happens to me. And I was so honored to be holding them up as they went through this.
Oh, that's really beautiful. And it's such a hard thing to do. And you referenced it. You know, the thing I always think about is they say, you know, you don't want to make it about you, of course. And that's important. But at the same time, so much of the emotion of saying goodbye to someone comes from personal stories and the way that they interacted and impacted your life. It's a hard thing to do.
That's where you get some of the funny, though, because I think anytime you do a talk, you want some levity. You want some, especially when you're saying goodbye to someone, the goodbye seems sad, but the life was great. So you got to kind of represent all of it.
Right.
The stories were what had us laughing. There was literally one, I have to tell you this one story.
Yeah, please.
One of the like hilarious stories we've been telling for years is Megan and Molly were 2 or 3 years old, and they were really on. They're good kids all the way through childhood, but when they were young, they were a lot. They hid once, and Janie couldn't find them. And she called, this is back in the time of landlines, she called her husband at the bank where he worked and was like crying and saying, they're gone. There was a fireplace in the middle of their house that the living room and dining room ran around. They were hiding in the corner. It took her hours to find them. And she came and her little 2-year-old kids are giggling in there while she was a mess.
Oh.
So I starting with a story about when Janie lost her kids in her own house was one. But they also used to change outfits, and she got calls from the preschool. And these are good kids.
Right.
Saying, you know, you have to have a conversation with your girls. They can't swap identities midday. You know, like there were so many stories like that. And their little brother, who's 6 years younger, would call my dad at Maytag in his like wearing a suit to his business. And he'd call on privately without Janie knowing and being like, Mr. Haynes, we're going to have a meeting at 9:12 o'clock. Bring a briefcase and a suit. And like he did this his whole life. And so these stories were so much fun to reminisce because Janie's life was that.
Right.
It wasn't this moment. It was all of that.
No. Well, I'm sure you made it a celebration, which is what you want to do there.
It was the best.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you for joining me, Sarah. You are the best. Tomorrow, our friend and former co-host, Candace Cameron Bure, will join me right here on the podcast after joining the co-host on the show.
Yep.
It's the first time she's been here in like 6 years.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's been that long.
Yeah. As always, check the episode description for the number to our Behind the Table hotline to give us a call or a text. And have a great day. Thank you for listening.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where Is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.